This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome back to iRescue Radio. This is Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we have some fun things to talk about in this episode of iRescue Radio. We're going to be specifically focusing on topics that are related to Christmas time.
Yes.
You think?
Yeah.
What Advent bliss.
Yeah. And mine's going well. Is yours going well?
It's blissful.
Blissful. That's nice.
Yeah. Blessed and blissful. Thing.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, we started talking about, well, what is pertinent to the season? And how could we maybe integrate some of the things we're going to talk about in prevention and how to respond to emergencies? But, you know, as we say, and it's going to be saying the same thing over again, the best way to survive a critical accident is to not have one. Right, Jody?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we're going to talk about ways that we can prevent those types of injuries that happen. We're going to be sharing some factoids about how many people are actually getting injured from mm-hmm. different types of things that are commonly done around the Christmas season, mm-hmm. and I think we're going to have a lot of fun with this.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to that.
So I'm looking for these articles, right, mm-hmm. about different things that have happened, and I wanted to find, like, Santa stuck in chimney.
Yeah. That only happens occasionally.
With the fireplace
lit. Well, that painful right there. That's what that is. That's
well, I couldn't find any. I couldn't even find a Santa slipping off the roof, for that matter. But he's isolated. There's a lot of other people that do. But anyways, the closest we got to Santa and his reindeer was an accident involving a reindeer.
Ooh,
not just one, in fact. A whole bunch of reindeer.
In Minnesota, eh?
Yeah.
Was it Rudolph?
Dasher and Dancer.
Uh-huh.
Prancer and Vixen.
Okay.
Comet and Cupid. And God rest Blitzen.
Because Blitzen took it.
He was D.O.A. Well, none of the reindeer lost their lives in the making of this episode. So here's the funny part. Okay, in Alexandria, we're talking about Freeport, Minnesota. An Alexandria man is in fair condition in St. Cloud Hospital after a chain reaction collision involving six cars on Interstate Highway 94 Sunday night, according to the Minnesota State Patrol. So it sounds like this person he's about 56. He was injured after he got out of his car and was struck by another car that had lost control on icy roads. You know, we see that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, half the time, it's not the first bumper thumper that happens.
Right.
It's being outside your vehicle in the same intersection or in the same area where it's slippery.
Yeah.
And other vehicles are doing the same exact thing that the first collision
did. Well, it's the Good Samaritan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In that collision, running around trying to help people that gets hit more often than not.
Yes. And we really, really need to remember that if the scene is unsafe, the idea is get out of there.
Right.
You can talk about this off the road.
Right.
You know, you can look at your car afterwards.
Right.
So, and that's what happened here. So it happened around 6:55 p.m. Sunday on the westbound lane of Highway 94 near Minnesota. The incident started when a truck lost control and went in the ditch. Now, that truck was pulling a trailer of reindeer.
Oh, the reindeer weren't pulling the truck. Okay.
No, in this case, no.
It's all becoming clear.
The semi was named Rudolph. I'm adding that. That's not true. But anyways, Santa's little sleigh. No, actually, they were pulling a load of reindeer for the holiday season, and it went off the road into the ditch. And the deer got out. All of them.
Well, that's when Hoffman, the person that was struck, this Thomas Hoffman, actually did hit one of the deer.
Oh. Yeah. Didn't kill the deer. The deer survived.
Now, he pulled his car ahead, wisely so.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead of the accident, not behind it.
Yep.
But promptly tried to corral the reindeer.
Good Samaritan.
God bless him.
Good Samaritan.
Exactly. Yeah.
Get the deer back in the trailer, not only for the person who lost the deer, but to keep other people from hitting the deer.
Mm-hmm. I just want to know, were the deer trying to fly at any time?
Well, before or after the collision.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fly. I would flee.
Flee. Oh,
you're now
flee.
Out. You're in Minnesota. It's not far from the North
Pole.
Game on.
It's right. You know,
just run.
Run for the woods.
Eat the magic corn.
You're letting yourself be corralled.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're free.
Get. Fake being dead for a little while.
Exactly.
Right?
It's all possum.
Play possum. That's it. He could have been home free.
These reindeer, they just didn't do it.
So then this chain reaction begins.
Well, that's the whole problem, yeah. Right? One car hits another car, hits another car, hits another car.
And... 6 cars total.
Wow.
All of this, I was struck by, no pun intended, the whole incident took about a minute.
Yeah.
So not only do you have time to pull ahead and get out and try to corral things, mm-hmm. 4 other cars piled into this.
Crazy.
He gets hit all within a minute.
I can't mm-hmm. help but think of that every time you have a bad morning weather event.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And by 1 p.m., it's blue sky, sunny, and dry pavement.
Yeah.
And people lose their lives.
Yeah.
And there's that we're not joking about this. There, it's dangerous.
Well, you called me 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
Said, chillax, it's black ice.
Couldn't even see the ice.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like damp pavement. Now,
interestingly enough, you were heading north from our office. I was heading south.
What was your roads like?
Wet and dry. Wet and trackable.
Oh, they were slippery.
The weather front was north.
We had rollovers.
And mm-hmm. we're talking a mile to 2 difference.
Yep.
It made that much of a difference.
Yeah, so. And you just don't know until you're sliding out of control sometimes. And so this story, fortunate part is he's in fair condition.
Right.
That's not great condition, but we're hoping that he recovers. And we're not trying to make fun of that poor gentleman who was involved in the accident.
And I think ultimately what I was moved by in this is that because it took a minute, it says when you stop, you get out of your vehicle, wait a couple minutes.
Yeah.
2 minutes isn't going to make the difference. Wait till all traffic has come to
exactly.
a halt, mm-hmm. assess the situation, make sure the scene's safe, then proceed forward.
Yeah. We have heard tragic accidents where people stayed in their car after the accident, and this is tough because many times it's cold, and it wasn't the first accident that killed them, but they were hit by an out-of-control semi or something that came into the... So, here's the moral of the story, and this is, if there's already accidents happening, don't endanger your life or your family's life by getting involved. When you could call for help, let the professionals block off the highway. The reindeer are reindeer. We'll get them back in the truck, you know?
Let the varmints go.
Just let them go. They're replaceable. Human lives aren't.
Mm-hmm. Precisely.
So everyone, lost one, so. Be careful. Be careful out there. Well, in this next segment, we're going to talk more specifically about winter sports safety. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but my kids have been having a blast on the sledding hills.
Early winter.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, we've had some good snow. We don't have a big hill, but we've had some good snow, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then it melts a little bit, and then it refreezes.
Yeah.
And we're like rocket ships.
Right.
Last year, I had to cut down 2 trees. Because my kids were going all the way into the woods.
Yeah.
That's what makes it fun. It's an adventure.
Yeah.
They're projectiles.
I was like, well. Anyway. here's some tips, though, in regards to different types of winter sports. And most people are probably going to be aware that you can have serious injuries with these types of sports, but maybe they're not sure of how to prevent it. So what's that first one, Jody?
Yeah, the first one is sledding with the child. You know, I can tell you just a couple of tips that are in here, and then I'll give you a kind of a personal story of it. But biggest thing is supervision. You know, I tell you, with kids, you've got to keep an eye on them because they're going to want to try the craziest thing possible. I had my 6-year-old trying to build a 6-foot, 7-foot jump going down the one sledding hill one time, and I thought, it's not a real good idea for him.
No.
He might not end up too well at the bottom.
No. What spinal cord?
Oh, what's a broken neck between friends?
What's a compression fracture?
So, you know, supervision is huge, and big thing is making sure the hill is safe. Like you said, you cut down 2 trees.
I had to cut them down.
You know, that's a good thing, because I tell you, that is one of the biggest problems when it comes to sledding accidents, is kids hitting trees.
Dan, look at the number there.
It's 74,000 sledding accidents.
Snow tubing, tobogganing. We've got a big...
I mean, we're not just talking bumps and bruises. We're talking hospital emergency room visits.
Yeah.
Well, I was watching this journalist doing an episode on tubing down a tubing hill, and I've seen this. I live near a place called Pando, right? Big tubing hill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Been there.
If you do not get out of the way before the next line of people come, and that's what happened to this journalist. Mm-hmm. He's there doing this blow-by-blow. And it looks like so-and-so is in the lead now, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, the tube comes and whacks him at the knees.
Ooh.
He literally does a somersault in the air and lands on his
stomach. So this is a guy that was standing on the hill.
Yeah.
Filming.
Reporting.
Reporting.
Yeah, no, the filmer was, you know, in safe zone. He caught the whole thing on tape.
He was watching and going, wow, never got that before.
Well, and you heard the jerk, he says. The mic picked it all up.
Oh.
So you know it wasn't staged.
No,
I mean, he just got lambasted. And that's what happens to these kids, too.
Yeah.
Teach
yeah.
your kids, get out of the hill.
There's a walking trail. That's yeah. you know, we went last weekend, and the two things I did was I scoped a stretch of snow
yep.
that had no impediments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because I go down on the big tube mm-hmm. for comfort,
mm-hmm.
but I shut the eyes. Or just let it fly. It's just I bury my head in the tube and I'm gone. I want to know I'm going towards no harm.
Yes, yeah. right? exactly.
So I blaze the trails for the kids,
mm-hmm.
But then I am harping at them that you don't walk back up the trail.
Mm-hmm.
You're in harm's way.
Yeah.
Get off to the side.
And here's the thing. You know, they're even saying it's not a bad idea to wear a helmet. And I agree with that.
Right.
I mean... You know, Jody, you're shaking your head no.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, you can wear a helmet. You know, how far do we go to be safe? That's an interesting question. I don't think I'm going to start wearing a helmet to go sledding with, sorry.
Big football helmet?
That's not going to happen.
Your motorcycle helmet.
Well, yeah, there you go. I'll wear a full face mask, go sledding.
But, you know, they tell us to wear helmets for snowboarding.
For yeah. bicycling.
Now they're encouraging it for skiing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've got a buddy right now. He goes out to Colorado. Yeah, he's a big skier. I mean, he has been all his life. He wears a helmet.
Really?
He will not go skiing without a helmet, and they make helmets specifically for that. It's not like wearing your... bike helmet, right? Yeah. It's specifically like half helmets or like snowboarding helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that in the Olympics too.
Yeah.
That's, I'm telling you, man, when you're doing jumps and you're flying fast, that's a major head injury.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what they say here is vast majority of these injuries are head injuries mm-hmm. that are coming into the emergency room.
Well, and that's the thing.
Not lacerations.
No. I mean, and here's the thing, folks. Rib fractures.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a collision, potentially,
mm-hmm.
that is... equivalent to a 15 to 20 mile an hour vehicle accident. And sometimes we forget there are multiple accidents happening when you collide. There's mm-hmm. the object running into the stationary object,
right?
Tree,
yeah.
other person, whatever. Then you have person hitting inside of the, or hitting the object.
Right.
And then you have organs to include brain, heart,
mm-hmm.
lungs,
right.
impacting on the inside of your body. And we've got closed head injuries,
mm-hmm.
not to mention spinal cord injury potential.
Right.
We have cardiac tamponade from a myocardial contusion mm-hmm. that can happen. We have tension pneumothorax that can occur from a rib puncturing a lung.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that can happen, and I think we just take it for granted sometimes. So caution. Like Dan said, get into a safe area,
mm-hmm.
and if an accident happens, treat it like a trauma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we try to blow those off sometimes and say, you know.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, some other interesting things that they note here, I guess I wasn't aware of, is that literally hypothermia can occur at 50 to 60 degrees
mm-hmm.
if conditions are damp and windy.
Oh, sure.
So babies and elderly, higher risk. But, you know, how many times have our kids come in with just red fingers, right?
Shivering is the first sign mm-hmm. of hypothermia.
Yeah.
It's your body's autonomic nervous system trying to rewarm itself. And if you drop your core temp 2 to 3 degrees,
mm-hmm.
you can start to have neurogenic effects.
Yeah.
Yep. That doesn't take much.
I hold my kids in high regard. But there's times they come in far later than they should have.
Yes.
Because the fun's too much to come in from, right?
You bring up a good point, too, is that they're keeping their core temp up,
mm-hmm.
but those fingertips, that nose tip, those cheeks, those ears, the cheeks, their face, their chin, their lips, their fingertips and their toes could be literally going from frost nip, mm-hmm. which is the stinging, burning pain,
right,
to numb,
Yeah.
And that's where we start actually getting the anesthetization of tissues, the nerves.
Right.
And they can get cold and freeze and go right into frostbite, and that causes permanent damage.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, part of the winter safety, I think one of the biggest things beyond the fact of making sure you have a good clear hill, making sure that what you're sledding on, you're not, you know, making sure you have a good safe walking path, some of those things. But the, like we're talking here, dressing properly. That is one of the things that we really need to watch out for. You know, feet, toes, socks. Having socks that are dry. Having socks that are thick. Having boots that are going to be waterproof. Having a jacket on that's going to actually protect you. Having gloves on. Those are some of the most important things when it comes to winter safety.
In layers.
Layers, absolutely.
Yeah, layer them. That way, if they get super hot, they can take a couple layers off.
Yep.
If they start to get cold again, they can put the layers back on. back on that trauma, though, too, you know, if they do get into a sledding accident, skiing accident, snowboarding, and I said something about, let's treat it like a trauma. Anybody who's taken a first aid course, you realize that we need to move the patient out of harm's way. In other words, don't, you know, we normally would want to stabilize the patient who's complaining of neck or back pain in the position found and call 911 on a potential spinal cord injury. In this case, you're maybe at the base of the hill where more sledders are coming, and there's no way to stop them, no friction.
Right.
So we're going to be carefully in line pulling this patient out of harm's way to a safe zone, get them up on other coats, maybe on a sled, so they're not laying on the frozen, cold ground. So I don't think it's a bad idea to pack a first aid kit. Do you, Jody?
Oh, it's a great idea to pack a first aid kit, because you never know what's going to happen. Again, you know, it's one of those things where if we were to take safety to the nth degree, we basically duct tape pillows around our entire body all day long, every day.
So what if I do?
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
We won't talk about that right now. But
maybe I wear a helmet, too.
To bed.
you don't ever know.
All right. That's right.
I could fall out anytime.
That's right.
Ceiling fan, just inadvertently dropping.
When I'm bouncing in the bed.
Actually, that happened to me once. That's a whole other story.
Okay, but anyway, next episode.
But yes, you're right. You know, we don't know what's going to happen anytime, no matter where you are. So a first aid kit is one of the best ideas so that you're prepared. If you do have an accident, you can do something. You have some equipment.
Now, I'm envisioning people bringing one of those little teeny tiny Walgreen, you know, with 12.5 Band-Aids, a little triple antibiotic.
Two aspirin.
And a tweezer.
Two aspirin, though.
Got to have aspirin. Oh, yeah, there's always aspirin, because that's first-line drug.
That's, absolutely.
First-line drug.
I'm talking about make your own. Put it in a hip bag.
Yeah.
Make it practical. And here's what I would include in mine. You tell me if I miss anything.
Cell phone.
Have a cell phone available. I don't think it's a good idea. You ought to ask my partners. Cell phones and I in recreation do not get along.
No.
Right?
Crunched a few heavy.
Yeah. In the lake, boating. Go-kart crush. Anyways.
Not a good idea to wear.
Let's not keep bringing that up.
Did you wear a helmet in the go-kart?
Yeah.
Okay, and move right along. So I think rubber gloves, because you may be helping somebody else, and that person might have hepatitis B, hepatitis C, HIV. Mm-hmm. We just don't know. It's perfect practice to have personal protective equipment, and we'll probably act more often if we're protected.
Yep. Absolutely.
B, something to give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. So a one-way compacted, a valved CPR shield.
Yep.
Right? They're small.
Yep.
Thirdly, yes, boo-boo Band-Aids are fine, right? They might nick their hand or something, but more importantly, something for direct pressure, a 4x4, a 5x9, or even a trauma dressing with some Curlex bandage.
Yeah.
Then from there, I would make sure that I have one of those Mylar shock blankets.
That's what you need. Yep.
You think?
Yep.
Or something in the trunk of the car that's even bigger than that, so that we can get the patient up off the ground and onto something that's going to help insulate them from that cold ice. I mean, we're literally putting that patient on ice. And if we drop that patient down in hypothermia because there was a blizzard the night before and fire now has extended response times because they're out taking care of fender benders and house fires and Christmas tree lights that are catching fire, which we're going to talk about in a minute, we could have a delay in response. And if you're out in Timbuktu farmland, it's all extended response. People are going to be coming out, first responders are going to be coming out on snowmobiles and quad runners, right?
Which aren't sitting on their ambulances.
Correct.
Fire trucks.
That's
They've
right.
They've got a range for them.
Right.
In proximity.
That's right.
Delaying the response.
That's right. So my whole point here is keep the patient safe, keep the patient warm, support airway breathing circulation, neck injuries, back injuries, mm-hmm. control major bleeding, and activate EMS. Your kid's saying they got a neck or back pain after a collision. Believe them. Mm-hmm. Call 911.
You don't tell them to suck it up?
Get back up the hill and try again.
Sweet bike.
So anyways, there we are. Next subject. Know your ice.
Ooh, I like ice. Crushed Ooh. Ice.
Crushed ice. Cubed ice. Clear ice. Ice. Yeah, milky good. Ice.
Mm-hmm. On the rocks.
Right.
That's what ice is, isn't it? Oh,
yeah. How thick is safe ice? I've asked myself that question before in the early winter, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You're dying to get out there, but more so your kids are dying to get on that ice. Here's the question. Thickness is only one factor contributing to safe ice. Yep. Ice over swiftly moving rivers or streams may be unsafe no matter how thick it is.
Yep.
Did you know that?
Absolutely. Because I, you know, when I used to ice skate quite a bit, mm-hmm. you know, when I was younger, back in the old days, I used to ice skate a lot.
Before I had my sledding accident.
Back before the ribs. And the
before I didn't wear my helmet when I was sledding.
Don't worry. I wear pillows and duct tape. So, but yeah, absolutely. You know, we used to have the river that we'd go out on, and it would be out right in our woods area. We had a nice little pond and a little river thing, and yeah. We would ice skate back there for hours yeah. while until the day
until ruined the ice again.
Until the day Jody realized that swift moving water so, under ice not, doesn't melt the same as still good. Water.
Fortunately, it was only 2 feet deep.
Well, the lakes we grew up on, you didn't get near. You know, I read in this, and it was wisely put. It's thinner near the edges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's a duh statement, but the edges are where you're trying to get on from land to
yeah.
ice.
Mm-hmm.
We always knew we were fine if we can get beyond 10 feet.
So just take a running jump.
Yeah. No, it was, Dan, you go first.
Oh, great. Yeah. Lay him down as the man bridge.
Yeah. Those ice skates are really comfortable.
Well, it not only was cold, but yeah, it was those blades.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we, as kids, we'd go out onto Lake Michigan, onto the... compacted ice.
Mm.
7, 8, 9 year old kids. We had seven of us out there.
Wow.
And one of the kids went through. Yeah. We were probably 300-400 really? Yards out.
Mm.
And mom was wondering how our cords got all wet. But we literally formed a human chain. These 8, 9 year old kids and got the kid out. We played on them all the time. I wouldn't let my kids near it.
That kid would have drowned.
Yeah. I'll watch it from the sky cam on our local TV station.
Yeah.
That's it. That's as close as I get now. We didn't
dangerous.
Think twice about it. So it's important that you educate your children to what the thickness of ice is.
Well, it says here, too, that the age of ice also affects its safety and appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Solid midwinter ice is the safest ice.
Yep.
It's opaque and white. Midwinter ice is the product of many days of below freezing, below 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah,
12 inches of this ice can support automobiles.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I know there's automobiles going on ice
all the time.
Thinner than that.
Yeah, yeah, all the time. Like, well, here in Michigan, we've got the famous tip-up town.
Yeah.
And I don't know when the big festival is up there, but you should see how many cars get on the lake on Oden Lake. It's amazing.
It is incredible. Motorhomes.
Yeah. Where do you vacation in the winter?
We park our motorhome out on the middle of Pickiwaka Lake and...
Try explaining that to your insurance company.
Yeah.
They're striping the lake for parking spots.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so now it says black ice is new or young ice. And that's the stuff that you love to skate on.
Yeah.
Nice, clear,
screamer.
Smooth.
It's like the little, what is it called, the Zambui?
Zamboni.
Zamboni. Yeah, Zamboni ice.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyways, they said this is the first ice of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Which is frozen over or previously thawed ice. It may crack when you skate on it.
Yep.
Okay. But it says if it's evenly thick, 2 inches of this tough elastic ice will safely support small numbers of scattered groups of skaters.
Yep.
If the ice is not evenly thick, 2 or 4 inches may not be safe. And it says normally the ice is thinner at the center of the pond or lake than at the edges. Now that, with just a few inches of new ice, it's best to stay around the edges of the pond until more cold days age the ice. Now, that's completely opposite of what we just were talking about.
Well, what I think Dan's saying is when the water's only like 3, 4, 5, 6 inches deep, that ice right there is going to crunch and crackle, so it's not like you're going to fall through anywhere. It's just that ice isn't developed at the beginning where it's really shallow.
Yeah, right, right.
But we're talking about, like, within, you know, with your 5 to 10 feet out from shore, that ice is actually going to be quite thick.
Sure.
But when you get out in the middle of the lake where, you know, the lake has much more water underneath it that stays at a regular temperature, the middle of the lake is real thin. It's the wrong place to skate.
Wrong place to fall in,
wrong place to ice fish.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, and then don't get on old or rotten ice.
Yeah.
That's ice that has begun to thaw. It's rotten. Yeah. Stay off it.
Lots of slush.
Stinks. I don't know if it stinks or not. Now, real quick on that, too. Remember that along with ice, you got dangers of skates, big lacerations. Hockey players face this a lot. And those skates are pretty sharp on the edge if they're if they're freshly sharpened. And, you know, sometimes we just have a lot of fun with those sports and we just don't think about how dangerous it can be. So be careful.
I had an ambulance call once with a skater at a skating rink, and the skater got the skate right up into the thigh. The back of the skate actually jabbed in. And so it was a pretty interesting call. But fortunately for them, all I needed was a few stitches.
Wow.
Didn't lacerate anything too bad.
Yeah. Spend a little more time on ice and stuff like that because, you know, it's drowning, hypothermia, it's a lot of things. Yeah. And there's no real easy way to get people off frozen or breakthroughs.
Right.
I mean, that's a bad situation. So and can cause multiple problems. So prepare. Be safe. Next one is snowmobile safety tips. Well, number one is don't ever consume alcohol or drugs.
And jump on the sled.
Yes.
And then,
And you know, that's probably the number one problem with snowmobile accidents. Yeah. Right there it is.
I think so. I think people just get carried away.
Yep.
You know, it was saying in this article, slow down. And that's tough.
That's no fun.
I don't think you buy a snowmobile to go slow.
No. That's why you buy it
to go fast.
They would have named them slowmobiles.
Right. Yep.
Instead of snow, go-mobiles.
Got it.
They're a lot of fun. You got to know your turf. You got to know you got open land. You know, know your stuff.
Well, and more importantly, what I've seen up north is you get invited to go up. You haven't ridden a sled for many, many years.
Exactly.
They put you on this rocket ship, and they say, keep up.
Yeah.
Those are the last two words you hear.
Right.
And you're in the middle of the Upper Peninsula. You have no idea where they just went.
And I'll tell you, I had a friend. He was snowmobiling, and this farmer was sick and tired of trespassers. Put a 1.5-inch cable across, and this buddy of mine, he clotheslined it so hard, it tore his trachea almost in two.
Right.
He ended up running about 150 yards back to the house with this partial airway hemorrhaging.
Wow.
He survived it miraculously, but we didn't know if he was going to talk again. We didn't know if he had a stoma that he was breathing through, a trach.
Wow.
We didn't know if he was always going to have to do that because he really messed up those larynx in there and that all that area, trouble swallowing.
Yeah.
It was a close call.
Yeah,
that was a really close call. And that, again, know your area.
Right.
But at the same time, I think it's, you know, in this practice what you preach, right? But don't assume that the trail that was open the day before is still open.
Right.
Some of these landowners can get really upset.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they'll throw those up. And they're supposed to flag those.
Yeah.
But, man.
Yeah. They often don't because they're just sick of people doing that, driving on their fields.
Yep. Another one, too. You know, lakes are really fun with snowmobiles because they're wide open.
Mm-hmm.
They're flat.
Yep.
But it says.
They're the smoothest. You can really get up to speed.
Yeah, I know it. Avoid traveling across bodies of water. You know, you're just not sure of the ice thickness. Some people would say, yeah, but you can hydroplane across those. And we've seen those contests, right, where they hydroplane across open water to the next patch of ice. And it works sometimes. And other times,
it doesn't. Down to the bottom.
It's not a floatmobile.
It's called the Titanic.
It's done. All gone. It's a boat anchor.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, we also had a tragic, tragic accident not too many years ago south of Grand Rapids where this person was flying across the ice and could not stop and hit the water barrier and was fatally injured.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, not good. So be careful. There's tons of fun, lots of fun, but just really, really be careful.
Yeah.
And again, hypothermia. You know, some of those now, they've got literal foot heaters, hand heaters, and you can, but what about the passenger? Or what about other people that have, you know, like the type of snowmobile I would have, which was about 15 years old?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, you might be able to handle it.
Uh-huh. I've been thrown off the back of a snowmobile more than once.
And there's nothing wrong with you.
That's right. The worst part is when the driver doesn't notice and just keeps on going.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Search and rescue.
And they're doing water skiing.
We'll send for help tonight. We're still trying to keep up. Oh, man. Well, that kind of wraps up all the things about, you know, the plane and things like that. But, you know, before we completely get away from injuries and things and traumas, can you believe how many people are injured doing things that are related to decorating?
It's pretty amazing. Decorating, it's quite the dangerous activity. So
I'd wear a helmet.
Yeah.
1,300 people are treated each year in emergency departments for injuries related to holiday lights.
Wow.
Yeah. Testing to see if the light bulb works with the tongue is not indicated.
Not a good idea.
Those are 9-volt batteries.
Might be okay for batteries, but lights, not a good thing.
Another 6,200 are treated for injuries related to decorations in Christmas trees.
Excellent.
That's pretty
good.
You
know, if you got to the emergency room.
Yeah.
Would you even acknowledge it? I'd really come up with some alternative story to sound just a little more legitimate.
Well, you know what?
I think it's a low number.
Speaking of Christmas trees.
I'm laughing because I've hurt myself more than once that way.
Well, we had, on the opposite side of that, we had a tree that never made it.
Oh.
I forgot it was on the top of our expedition.
Oh.
And came into our home. And we're all singing, la, 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 la. And the kids are singing the praises of Daddy. You know, life is great. We're going to a Christmas tree cutting party. We're thinking about hot cocoa and marshmallows. And we're jingle belling it. And I was miles away from thinking about a Christmas tree tied to the roof of my truck.
Oh, no.
I pulled into the garage.
Just wedged it.
Well, and a Christmas tree pines are like a fish hook. What are you going to do?
Back it out.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Back out? I tried. Snap, snap, snap. From hero to zero in 2 minutes, baby. I just destroyed that gorgeous tree.
Hey, and the good news, at least you had something to make some pine boughs and wreaths with.
And did you use the pine to repair the garage door?
It's still broken. It's yeah.
It's messy.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, people now, they call me and say, hey, thanks to your traumatic accident, our trees are more safe.
There you go.
Thanks.
Share the
yeah,
story.
Throw me it's down important. Right in front right. of the bus, exactly. Right? It's good to know that.
Poster child.
Yeah. Mm. Man, I was a loser.
Oh.
Oh.
Well.
Anyways.
You're doing better now.
So, but, you know, I can see it. Cutting down Christmas trees with a chainsaw, with a blade. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen trees fall off the top of the vehicle hauling it home. Because it absolutely, right in the middle of the road. You know, it's not just
It's not funny.
I'm raising my hand.
Jody!
Because,
the bungee cord snapped?
When the cord snapped and the tree started dragging off the back.
Made it for the first mile. I used to have a dog.
How many people were flashing their lights?
Oh, not many, because I was fortunately not in a real busy section of a
They're all waving at you to stop, and you're waving back.
Hey, Merry Christmas!
That's the side of the tree that goes against the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what happens when it's tumbling?
Hey, but I didn't break the top of it, so it was
Kids, we got good news and bad news. Bad news is our tree's only a foot high this year.
But it's only the top.
It's only the top.
Episode of The Office where they cut the top of the tree off. Oh, it doesn't fit. Just butchered.
That's
all right. Well, I don't feel so bad now.
No, you're not the only one.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Well, you know what, though? Christmas trees were involved in about 400 fires.
Oh, yeah.
Changing gears here a little bit. You found a video that shows how fast a dry Christmas tree can go up.
Oh, my goodness. On Steve Spangler Science.com, you can see that video, and it shows how quick just a little bit of ignition, whoof, the tree just goes.
Let's put a link to that.
I think we should.
And then people can watch it.
Yeah, it's great.
Because it's fast.
It is very fast.
Now, someone told me that they had one, too, where they doused it with gasoline.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Come on. You got to make it realistic.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? But Christmas tree fires, I have...
Well, it's like popcorn. Those needles literally explode off the tree and that, send embers.
And that pine resin is a fuel. Yeah. I mean, it just goes.
Well, they say the first day that tree's going to take down a gallon of water. Keep the water rocking.
Yes, it's a pain.
Yeah.
I admit...
You know the limit of number of weeks you can have that thing.
Well, I want to rig something this year. A tube that goes, like, out to a funnel.
Like a slow drip.
Well, you get... poked to death every time you get under the tree, and I got needles all in my hair. And...
No, that's the point of it. It keeps the kids away from the tree. You get those soft people,
those are cats.
Well, the cat. Thanks, Jody.
Yeah, new episode.
Yeah. I'll tell you after Christmas. Aww.
Well, anyways, it says place Christmas trees and other greenery away from fireplaces and radiators.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the tree stands filled with water. Dried out Christmas trees are a fire hazard.
Mm-hmm.
Check each set of tree lights for frayed wires. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Important. Don't touch it with your tongue.
No. Place lit menorahs and other candles away from decorations and drapes. You know, we like decorating with candles, but we have some that we just don't light. They're just for show.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then I saw some, which are, I personally think they're cheesy. Those little LED flames.
Yeah.
Anyways, I saw, you know, I just put a pretty one up there and don't light it next to the pine boughs. I say.
Mm-hmm.
If you have small children, avoid sharp or breakable decorations. Keep tinsel and other small trimmings out of children's reach.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid using decorations that look like candy or food as they may attempt to eat them. Makes sense, right?
Especially young children, yeah.
Use caution when decorating with spun glass, angel hair, or bubble lights. Why are you laughing?
I don't even know what that is. Bubble lights?
Yeah, bubble. You don't know what bubble lights are?
No.
Dan, you don't know what bubble lights are?
Oh, my goodness. You are.
Everybody knows what bubble lights.
Isn't that redneck stuff?
No, bubble. No.
Bubble. Okay. Bubble lights.
Not bubba. Bubble lights.
They look like bubbles.
When you put the bubble lights
right?
on.
Right? They look like bubbles.
They look like they're little, how do you describe it? Well, let me show you on the radio. There, see it? Okay. It's a little.
Things from radio.
Yes, it's a little tube with a little like oil in it that has a little light underneath, and the oil just keeps bubbling and bubbling.
Once
it
heats up, it bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lava lamp.
They were popular in the 60s.
And some of them still are.
Yeah.
You can't throw ornaments away.
No. They're really cool. Anyway. But be careful.
Yeah.
Angel hair, though.
I could talk about breaking an ornament.
Yeah.
Like. Third generation from Poland.
Ooh.
Yeah, that impressed my in-laws. First year decorating.
Ooh.
The danger there was trauma to me.
Yeah. Trauma to you.
Yeah, I was not real popular to my new in-laws that year. And then keep holiday plants away from children. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
people don't realize
poinsettias are poisonous.
Yes, they are.
And a little nibble is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're beautiful.
I wish my cat would eat some.
Yeah. Hey.
Don't say that.
That's right.
Some people love cats.
I love cats. They taste like chicken. Oh, sorry.
Oh, Jody. Oh,
moving right along.
That.
Could you? Yeah. That's it. Ratings just fell by 1,000%. How to win friends and influence people. Cut on people's pets.
Well, you know, the other thing about the injuries that happen on holiday is not just decorating.
Right.
But it's when you talk about shopping.
People got killed this year.
Oh, the one at the Walmart. Every year we hear about a Walmart trampling. Every year, it seems like.
I mean, okay, wait a minute. Think about this for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
This isn't a soccer match in England.
And it's not a fire.
No, no.
I mean, you can almost sort of rationalize things where other people are fearing for their life and they are not in their right mind.
Oh, it's crazy.
But to rush in to get a product.
Mm. Mm.
They're trampling a person to death?
Killing someone to do that. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Come on.
Yeah.
I almost can't believe that, but it's true.
I do question the person that camps out the day before. In a tent. In the cold. Waiting to get in the store first. I think it's more the event of doing that.
I think we have some technicians inside that have done that before. We should ask them what drives them to be the first weed purchaser.
Speaking of getting edited.
You're going to get edited right off the show.
Know your crowd.
Oh, man. You're right, though. I mean, 21,000 people, children under age five, a year,
yep,
from shopping cart accidents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that where the kid's climbing on the top of the seat and
out they go. Right on the hard floor. Yeah. Escalators found in almost every shopping. 6,000 injuries from an escalator.
I have a parent that will not ride escalators.
I don't blame them.
Yeah. I heard one story and that was that game over.
I get a little sweaty palmed on the entry and the exit. The step on and the step off.
You're not supposed to run up.
No, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
You're trying to time your step. Yeah. There's people in front of you. You're hoping that they don't just get there and then look around. And so you're like going, I'm running out of tread here. Yep. What are you gonna do? Start backstepping?
Yeah. Well, I wonder, like especially gals with high heels.
Yep.
I've seen them where they've had trouble. Stuck. And when I wear my high heels, I really no, not.
Different episode.
Different episode. No, seriously, the high heels, though, it's interesting. You see them get those little, they don't fit too well.
They can get sucked right down into that lip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some bad stuff on escalators.
Go underneath the lip?
No, people. What?
Not people.
No, this is not the X-Files.
Your imagination is running away with you now. Violent crime.
Oh, yeah.
I would say trampling somebody is a violent crime.
Oh, awful. Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to know the charge for that.
Well, what's the defense going to be?
Oh,
they were in mass hysteria and out of their right mind when they were purchasing their television.
I wanted the last boombox.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted that 44-incher.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's...
It's a sick mentality.
And it's a no-win. Mm-hmm. It's a no-win. Yes. I would feel horrible going home at night knowing that part of my herd... Going into a shopping mall, that I stepped past a person who was crushed to death.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely. This isn't a building on fire.
And how do you celebrate a happy Christmas?
A store to buy something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At the cost of someone's life.
Yeah.
I think if people get a bad sense of the holiday season being commercialism, that is it at its peak.
It is.
Of awfulness.
It is. It really is.
When you've utterly lost
the
sense of what the holiday season is about.
It's about loving each other more than ourselves.
Pendulum swung. Yep. Exactly.
It really is. And that is just the opposite. That's a feeding frenzy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, some of that too, some of the safety tips for in stores is how to teach your children what to do if they get separated.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them to go to a store clerk or a security guard if they get separated.
See, that's good advice.
Yep. Very keep important. Them in a stroller and supervise them closely.
Yeah.
If you place your child in a shopping cart, always use the safety belt. Mm-hmm. Stay close to the cart and never let your child stand in or push a shopping cart.
Right.
Don't be an easy victim for violent crime. Stay alert at all times and pay attention to your surroundings. Park in well-lit spaces away from decorative bushes. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Don't overload yourselves with packages and have your car keys in your hand before heading to the parking lot. You know why? So you can get into your car fast.
Right.
You're not fumbling, giving the person who's going to steal or cause problems more time than they need. Make sure no one in your group has loose shoelaces. Yeah. Oh, on the escalators. That would be a huge one.
Yeah. Especially kids. You know, I myself have been known to have loose shoelaces. So it's, that's a big one.
Hold your children's hand, face forward, and keep feet away from the edge of the steps. Never bring strollers, carts, or walkers on an escalator, and where possible, cross the street at designated crosswalks before you step off the curb. Make sure make sure approaching vehicles have come to a complete stop. Mm-hmm. Those are good. Some of that was from the Safe Kids Coalition, and we'll put links of all that stuff in an area where you can look up more of that and print it off. Mm-hmm. Good stuff to teach your kids. So that wraps up another episode of iRescueRadio.com. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we'll see you next time where we talk more about health, well-being, prevention, and rescue. Have a great day from iRescueRadio.com.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.